Christian Krasowitz here from ChristianKOnline.com. And today's social media marketing podcast is going to talk about Facebook management tools. In particular, we're going to talk about Agora Pulse because we have the CEO and founder, Emmerich Ernu, with us today. Emmerich, it's great to have you on today's show.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Christian.
So as I mentioned, you know, we're going to talk a lot about Facebook management. And I want to start off, Emmerich, talking about what your tool is. Can you give readers, or listeners actually, background on Agora Pulse, what it does, where they can get it?
Sure. The idea for Agora Pulse came into our minds 2.5 years ago when we started to use Wildfire. As at that time we were doing a lot of agency work and a lot of bespoke app development for clients, and we saw Wildfire coming out. It was 2009, so yes, 3 years ago. And we loved the idea of not having to rebuild apps every time we had to launch a campaign for a client. Like, I think at that time it was a quiz that we needed. And we reached out to them because we said, oh, we love your self-service platform, but we'd like to build a quiz. And what we need is in the white label version of the product. And there is no price on the website. So how much is it? And they told us it was $5,000. And then, you know, my partner and I looked at each other and said, $5,000? Whoa, we're going to build our own stuff. And so that's how it got started. And so we started building apps. And then we soon realized that apps were nice, but they were just one part of the answer to what Facebook page managers have to do. And as we were managing our own page and a couple of clients' page, we started to realize that, you know, managing content is manageable if you have a very small page and not a lot of engagement on it. But as soon as it starts growing, it's kind of a mess. At that time, statistics were really bad on Facebook. They've made a lot of progress since then, but then it was really, really bad. So we realized that, you know, people need better reporting and better metrics and better understanding of how they're doing on their page. And people want to compare themselves with the competition. And, you know, there were a lot of stuff and a lot of different areas where Facebook page managers needed help and needed more tools and more responses to their questions. So and when we looked at the market and we saw Buddy Media, Vitru, Involver at that time, they've all been bought out by big companies since then. But we looked at them and we said, well, basically there are two different sets of response to that need. There is the self-serve affordable products that only do one thing, and then there is the kind of products that do the overall, you know, everything you need for your Facebook page, like the enterprise kind of stuff. And, you know, in that time, Wildfire came into the picture doing that as well. But all these guys were very, very expensive, like, you know, $2,000, $3,000, even more a month. And we realized that, you know, 99% of the market of people managing Facebook pages couldn't afford that. So we said, well, we want to be in the business of providing everything you need for your Facebook page for a cost you can afford, even if you're a small or a medium brand or agency. So that's the background of the story. So basically, it's a long answer to a short question, but what it does is applications, contests, and promotions. That's one thing. Content management, so managing the posts and the comments from the fans and replying to those posts and comments in an organized way. So you can assign comments to people working with you. If you're an agency, you can work with the clients and propose answers. The client approved them, you know, all that kind of workflow management that only the enterprise system have, and you can find in Agora Pulse for as low as $29 a month. You can manage your fans. You can see who your most active fans are. You can see all the comments, all the posts that they've published on the page under their profile, which is something that's sometimes very useful to see the history of what a fan has been doing on a page. You can tag the fan, organize them by keywords. This guy is an ambassador. This guy is a pain in the neck. You know, whatever they do on your page, you can, you know, you can, get organized and have a better vision, of who is doing what and who is worth what on the page and as a fan. Third thing, you have a lot of statistics and a lot of metrics that you can't find on Facebook Insights, like, you know, your response rates to comments, posts and messages, your response time, the number of comments and posts you have reviewed on the page. So if you're an agency managing a page for a client, that will produce a nice report every month saying, hey, this month I have reviewed 1,500 comments on your page. See, this is work. So, you know, this kind of stuff that helps people managing the page, getting things that help them and that help them report, that help them engage, that help them manage, that help them, you know, save time doing the day-to-day stuff on the page. So basically that's what Agropulse does. And now it's doing it for Facebook, and we're adding Twitter in like 2 months or so.
That's actually a really powerful tool. I mean, you mentioned a lot of great things. I think the thing that impresses me the most is, you know, you can really dig into, you know, who's actually seeing your content. You know, you can get into the things that Facebook really is missing, you know, with their normal insights. So I want to move on to the next topic about managing content on a Facebook page. I mean, you've got Agropulse. You know, it's a great tool. It's very powerful. But can you talk about maybe, you know, managing content on a Facebook page? Like, is Facebook really doing the right job?
Facebook is doing a decent job if you have a small page and you know, a couple of people engage every day. If you are at that level, if you are at that place, using the Facebook native tools is going to do the job. You don't necessarily need something on top of that. But as soon as you start getting a little bit more engagement and a little bit more comments, and, you know, for example, you want to assign the management of that to a third person, someone outside of your company. For example, I work with remote assistants a lot, who do a lot of social media stuff for me, and I know 98% of the brands do that. They either have that internally or they outsource that to agencies or freelancers or consultants. As soon as you start doing this, managing the content on the page becomes very, very problematic, because if you do it directly on Facebook, you have no idea who's done what. You have no idea if every single question or every single client issue or complaint has been responded to. It's very, very hard to keep up with the pace of what's being published, what's being asked for on the page, what kind of stuff you need to, you know, look into and pay attention to. And if you're not using a third-party tool, you get overwhelmed by that this content, and you never know where you are, and you never know what you need to do. And you know, if someone comes to the page and complains in the form of the post, in the form of the comment, or in the form of a message, if you don't have something that can tell you 100% sure this has been taken care of or not, you end up stressing all the time, like, oh, I'm not sure I responded to everything, or the person who's working for me has done that. So that's really the key point that we were trying to solve, is help Facebook page managers make sure that everything that needed to be responded to has got a response.
So you mentioned, you know, if you're a small business, you might not need the tool. Can you kind of elaborate, like, on what size Facebook page you think needs that?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the size of the business. It's the intensity of the number of posts and comments you get on the page. Again, if you get one post a day or two posts a day, you're still going to find them easily on your page directly. And if you get, you know, a couple of comments every here and then, you're still going to be able to see them. But if you get, you know, 7, 8, 10 posts a day, or 20, 30 comments a day, and then, you know, replies to comments, replies to replies, and all that stuff, that's great, but that's now creating even more complexity into where the content is, where the comment is. Did I see that, you know, third comment that was a reply to my initial comment from that guy? Yes or no? I mean, try to figure that out directly on the timeline. Good luck. I mean, it's really messy. It's really complex. And if you get to that point and you don't have the tools to help you have an easy to read timeline of content with easy markers, you know, reviewed, not reviewed, replied to, who replied to that, what was the reply, and all that stuff, then you really start to get lost. And it can be a small business and have a very high engagement. It's not the size of the business is not the key point here. It's really the size of the audience and the page and the kind of engagement you get from that audience. I mean, I know people who have restaurants and have a very, very active page and a lot of raving fans, which is great. But then the problem is, God, all these people come here and say, I had a great time today for lunch and I'd like to reply to all of them, but I can't keep track of that because I got so many of them and I never know where they are. And every time I try to look at my, in my, you know, Facebook has a kind of a log, notification center, but I mean, look at the notification center. If you had 20 comments on 5 different posts during the same day, good luck finding them and responding to them. It's really not engineered for that kind of use.
Yeah, I mean, I know it can be really frustrating if you have a comment come in, say you get an email and you then go into Facebook thinking, oh, hey, I'm going to, you know, oh, it's an easy comment. I'll respond right back to it. Yeah. And you go in and you're like, hey, I can't even find it. You know, it's definitely not it's not a good use of time, you know, to have to kind of go in and reply to all of them. But at the same time, it's definitely an important facet of, you know, managing an engaging Facebook page. I mean, your customers took the time to respond. They're expecting, you know, some sort of response from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And would you even consider for a minute not responding to an email from a client saying, I had a great time at your place today? I mean, no, you would definitely respond to the email. Thank you, Christian. We appreciate your feedback. You know, that's the kind of thing we all do. And if you don't do that on Facebook, it's like not responding to their email when they give you praises and thank you and tell you they're happy. I mean, every time I give feedback to, you know, a tool online I'm using, for example, if I'm not receiving at least a thank you to acknowledge my feedback and the time I took to tell them what I thought and you know, the ways I think they can improve the tool and what I like in the tool. When I give that kind of feedback, if I don't get a response, I get frustrated. I said, well, I invested 10 minutes of my time, which is super valuable, to give you feedback, and you don't even acknowledge and thank me. It's not nice.
Yeah, I actually had an issue with something like this earlier this week. You know, I had a situation with another business, and I had, you know, a really poor customer service experience with them. I gave them my feedback and I immediately got an email the next day saying, hey, you know, can you tell us more about what happened? You know, and to me that was, you know, it did save me, you know, from saying, well, hey, I'm done with this business. You know, but, you know, absolutely right. I mean, you have to be, you know, engaging. You know, it can't just be like, hey, I'm getting all these people commenting. I have to actually, you know, keep myself involved with them. 'Cause, you know, again, there's so many businesses. And someone can decide, you know what, if that restaurant didn't respond to me, I'll go somewhere else. I mean, there's lots of other options out there.
There are plenty of restaurants in the area.
Yes.
Absolutely. And the thing is, people tend to think that this kind of stuff is only for big brands with hundreds and thousands of fans who have community managers in-house or in agencies to handle that for them. But I think it's a big mistake, because the smaller you are, the more important getting those ambassadors and those, you know, those early adopters and those early lovers of your business still loving you. I think it's even more key to them. I mean, the big brands, they still have TV ads and all sorts of marketing tactics to get clients and to be present before their eyes. But small businesses like ours or a lot of others, making sure that people who like us still like us and making sure that we are doing a good job keeping them happy is definitely even more important for us than it is for big brands.
So, you know, we're just talking a minute ago about how big brands have a lot of things they can fall back on besides, you know, a Facebook page or a Twitter account. You know, they've got TV ads, they've got print ads. Are brands and agencies, are they already, you know, mature about how they're using Facebook?
No.
Can you elaborate maybe on that? That would be, I'd really love to hear this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny. I'm not going to name them, but, you know, I had, and it has nothing to do with Facebook or social media. It just has something to do with the web in general. But we have a big agency we work with in the U.S., and, you know, they sent us a piece of HTML text last night, and they told us, oh, this is not working on mobile. What's the point? What's going on? Is your tool broken? Please help, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a coder. I'm not an HTML CSS guy. I'm the marketing guy and the business guy. I looked at the code, and even though I have very limited background in HTML, CSS, I looked at the code, and in that code, I had a width for the HTML visual they were using that was set to 810 pixels. And I said, you know, I'm not sure, but if you set a width to 810 pixels, it's probably not going to work on mobile because it's not responsive. So it's going to display something 810 pixels width wide, where your phone screen doesn't have that width. And I responded to that. I checked with one of my developers. He said, yeah, you're right, Emmerich. This is because of that. And this is the CSS text you need to use. So it's going to be responsive and adapt to the size of the screen and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. And that's just a little illustration. And on social media, it's even worse. Because here we're just talking about, you know, just using the web and having that background about how you can use, you know, web stuff, images, website, HTML, landing pages on Facebook, whatever it is. There is a big gap of knowledge in online marketing and in the web in general. And that knowledge gap is even bigger in social. And what you see today, the way most brands, and fortunately not all of them, but most of them are using Twitter or Facebook or any other social properties, is that they're really looking at them as they are broadcasting services. You know, they are here for them to spread their message, which most of the time is a derivative of the message they created for their TV ads or their radio ads or their magazine ads or their online ads, whatever it is. But they're not designed to create that communication, one-to-one personal human communication with your users, with your viewers, with your clients, with your prospects. And, this sounds like we've been saying that for the last 3 years. And it's true. And it looks for us who are in that ecosystem, who've been in that ecosystem for a long time. It's like, yeah, Emmerich, we know that. You know, we've already read that hundreds of times, but it's still the case. It's still very true that people are still trying to figure out how they can leverage social media, and they're still doing it very in a very old-fashioned way and not doing it the way it should be done, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm not blaming them too much, because we are too, and I'm sure you are too, finding out stuff that work every day and we didn't know the day before and say, hey, this works well. We should do that more. We should do more of that. And I think like email, like the web, like every other online marketing or online communication tools that we were given during the last 15 years, it takes at least 4 or 5 years before you start really having a good understanding of what it does, what it doesn't do, how it can help you, and how you should use it to maximize the result you get out of it. And I don't know if it's in one of the next questions you have, but one of the things that social is very good at, and it is probably the only media that's good at it, is CRM. It's you know, getting the juice out of a one-to-one relationship with one user, one client, one prospect. Since the web existed, only email did that, but didn't really do that in a very effective way, because, you know, email, there's no archive, there's no organization, there's no profile, there's just have an email address and you blast email and you get a response in 0.1% of the time. You get an open in 20% of the time if you're lucky. You get a click in 2%, you know. So it's kind of a ineffective way to have conversations with people. Social is the most effective way to have those conversations. And we know for a fact as businesses that those conversations lead to a greater relationship, and good relationship in business leads to business. So when people will start leveraging social to create those bonds with their audience in a meaningful way, they will be successful. And right now they're not doing it.
You know, I want to kind of go back to a point you just brought up a minute ago, which was, you know, businesses, you know, brands, you know, not really even getting social. You know, I see this a lot. I mean, you're right. It's the whole you know, broadcast of messaging that's going on. And what I'm actually not seeing happen is they're not really getting to the core of their business. You know, they're assuming, hey, it's a broadcast message. I'm going to just, you know, push everything out to everyone. I want them to go buy my stuff, go check out my blog post. But they're overlooking what it is that makes their business so unique and, you know, so engaging to, you know, some of their customers. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree. I 100% agree with that. But it's a very, it's a total shift in the way we communicate. It's really a way to communicate that is, that has never existed before. That social is bringing to the table. So it's very hard for brands to make that shift. And it takes, you know, time, brainstorming, trial and errors, tests and everything, which does take time. And even, you know, even social media companies are starting to do it now. And even us, I mean, we're not that good yet. We should get better and we should do a better job with that. But the best way to leverage social to your advantage is to leverage social to show who you are as a team, who you are as a founder, who you are as a support person, who you are as a developer. You know, I can only talk about us, for example, as an app developer. Every time we start using social to tell our audience more about us, it's super effective. We had a great response. We have a lot of engagement. People like it. People feel connected with us. And every time we use social to demonstrate our expertise, how great our tools are, what a great feature we've just released. So it works. It's okay. But the kind of response we get is definitely less engaging and less massive than when we start creating the connection between us as the people who are behind this thing and our audience and our users and the people who are looking at us as an alternative to something else than when we're trying to promote us as what we do. So basically for me, the key point is social is here to tell people, to tell the world who you are, not what you do.
That's actually a really great, you know,
quotes.
Great words. Yeah, I mean, you know, at the same time, I mean, it also kind of reminds me of Guy Kawasaki with this whole, you know, enchantment thing. You know, yeah. It's about, like, being enchanting and having something that, you know, your customers are going to want to check out every single day when they first wake up, you know, when they hit the internet. You know, they're not going to go check email. They want to say, oh, well, what's, you know, what is Agora Pulse doing, for instance, you know, did they launch a new feature? And then, you know, it's just going to get people like giddy. It's going to get them excited, you know, about what it is that brand is doing. So.
Absolutely. Just one great example. I'm going to do a little ad for a software company I'm not even using, but I read their blog all the time. Mm-hmm. It's Groove HQ. It's a ticketing system for support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a ton of software doing this all over the place, big ones like Desk or Help, Zendesk, Desk.com or Zendesk or User Voice, and smaller ones, pretty successful but smaller, like Help Scout. And I discovered Groove HQ recently, and I'm not using them because we were already using Help Scout, so it was kind of a hassle to move to a different system, and we're happy with the one we were using. But I started reading their blog, and on their blog, they are telling the story of them as a business, oh, you know, the mistakes they've made as a business, the good things they've done and how they did it and what it brought, you know, what kind of value they got out of it, why they turned down a VC offer for $5 million and all the reasons and all the brainstorming and the thoughts they had before they decided to turn that offer down. You know, they're really giving you their story as a business with a lot of details, a lot of stuff that most business would think, this is confidential, I'm not going to release that on the web. And I've been, you know, I started being a big fan of their blog because these people are telling a story, which is my story. That's their story, of course. Mm-hmm. But it relates a lot to my story as a startup, as a SaaS business. We have the exact same life and we have the exact same questions and the exact same events in our business life. And I read their blog like, wow, this is great. Someone is going through the same things I'm going through, and they're mm-hmm. sharing that publicly with me. This is a sign of, you know, transparency, proximity, you know, whatever, you name it. But I feel, weirdly enough, I've never met these guys. I don't use their tool, but I feel close to them because we're sharing something in common.
You know, I actually completely agree with you on the fact that, you know, that's another way where a lot of businesses, you know, they think, hey, it's about pushing out your own product and, oh, I've got this going on and, you know, we've got a new blog post we want you to check out. But, you know, in this case, they're humanizing their brand. I mean, they're making it, you know, they're putting that information out there, and they don't care if somebody says, oh, you know what, this company's not, you know, oh, they're a startup, they're still growing. Like, you know, it's nice to see them to be open and transparent and say, you know what, we've messed up over the years when we've been trying to build, but we know that this is information that anyone on the web has either gone through, but, you know, other people just don't talk about it. Or, you know, it's almost like, in a way, it's almost like an instruction manual to say, you know what, here are some guidelines if you're just getting into the business. These are some things that we ran into. These may help you, you know, and I'm starting to see that a lot too. I mean, with, you know, with a lot of businesses, I mean, I think, who is it? I think it's HubSpot maybe. I think they started off with, HubSpot does it. I think Derek Halpern at Social Triggers, you read that, you ever check out his content. I mean, he's got some really great, great content about, you know, applying like real life, like situations to, you know, to marketing and, you know, selling products and whatnot. Really great podcast as well. So moving on to, you know, talking about like the future of how brands, you know, big and small are going to leverage Facebook for their business. Like, where do you see things evolving? At the moment, Facebook has, you know, they really started to roll out a lot of new features. I know they improved the scheduling option now. You know, when you schedule a post, they actually are almost encouraging you to schedule multiple posts. You know, they've implemented the 5-star review rating on a lot of Facebook pages. Like, where do you think Facebook is headed, and how do you think big brands, both big and small, can leverage this?
Well, where Facebook is headed is a tough question because they're heading to so many directions all the time and changing directions and moving fast and breaking things as they do all the time. it's difficult to do the Oracle thing and say this is the direction they're going. I think the direction they will be going to is more and more ease of integration between their advertising tools and platform and their page platform, because this is where their business is. And at the end of the day, if you do it well, this is also where your business is, because if you can leverage page and ads intelligently in a smart way, you know, you're going to be able to generate more business. And we do a lot of that. I mean, we do a lot of Facebook ads and we test a lot of things on Facebook ads. Some are just, you know, a total waste, and some are just awesome. So it does take a lot of work and a lot of A/B testing and stuff. And I think, you know, the more they will integrate this, and they're starting to do the boost post thing, but it sucks. They improve the basic ad interface, because, you know, the Power Editor has had all this great features the basic interface didn't have. So they're integrating more and more stuff that was only in the Power Editor in the past. But the Power Editor is crap. I mean, it's a horrible tool. Mm-hmm. You know, you had custom audiences in Power Editor. You didn't have that in the basic ad creation interface. Now you have it. You didn't have the pixel tracking in the basic interface. You only had it in Power Editor. Now you also have it in the basic interface. So it's, you know, they're improving that and it's great. It's still not where I think it should be, but it's making a lot of progress. And the more they will integrate that with ease with the page and with what's going on the page, the better it will be for them and the better it will be for the page owners as well. So I think that will be one of the things that will work a lot in the future. For everything else, you know, they've tested offers. I think they're discontinuing them. But at least I read that several times a couple of months ago, but I still see them in the system. So I don't know if it's totally done or in the process of being done or not. But offers was, you know, it was a nice try. It was something that was worth trying.
By the way, I could see them bringing back offers at some point. Like, I know it's still in existence.
Me too.
I know they're, you know, trying to run some partnerships with retail stores to get people to, you know, check in to that business and get, for instance, like they'd get, I think, Wi-Fi within the store, and then they'd be able to obviously at that point, you know, get some demographic information on the customer that's checking in, you know, boost the pages, you know, number of fans. You know, I think that, in all honesty, I kind of see Facebook becoming like Google. You know, imagine taking, you know, they're building Facebook ads. You know, those are ideal for, you know, leveraging Facebook, you know, to drive traffic. Google's doing the same thing, you know, with search. On the flip side, you know, if you actually tied Facebook offers into, you know, their platform to where, you know, as a way, you know, like somebody's, you know, say they're looking at, I don't know, a status update from somebody about a, you know, about a product or a Christmas list or something like that. You know, it'd be interesting to see if maybe they'd offer another layer where you can, you know, almost like products and whatnot, like specific products itself, and have that kind of be tied into that ads interface, maybe to where brands could then push offers to you.
Yeah. I mean, think about it for 1 minute. What is the mean local business would have to advertise a special offer or a special event or a new product to all the people who came to the store at some point? What are the means a business like that has to his, you know, to the reach of his budget or even possibilities? I mean, apart from something like, I mean, Foursquare could be, but you know, it's not widely used enough to do that job. Mm-hmm. You know, AdWords will not do that. Email will not do that because they probably have emails for like 5% of their clients. Twitter will definitely not do that either, not at a large scale. So Facebook is the only potential for that kind of need, and that kind of need is huge. I mean, if you have a local shop or local business, being able to retarget, to talk again to the people who came to your place once at some point in the past. Mm-hmm. Is really something of value. I mean, it's super valuable. God, we have this special offer. I'd like all the people who came to our store at least once and know about this. If you can target all the people who checked in or liked the business at some point, you're probably going to get, you know, probably going to reach a lot more people than if you try to look at your email database, which is probably a lot smaller than that number of people, and try to blast emails that way. So it's the future, again, I think it's connected to the link between ads and pages or places or whatever mm-hmm. assets you have on Facebook. But as they will have more and more people checking on places, liking pages, installing apps, and have more and more links between these actions and the possibility to reach out to these people in the future using ads, that will create a lot of value for businesses.
You know, I would really love to see businesses push offers to people who just checked in. For example, let's say you went to a retail establishment, you checked in, so you used this, you know, supposed new feature that they're testing. And let's say you didn't buy something, right? I mean, you could almost layer in a survey, for instance, or, you know, some sort of feedback form to where once you leave that store, maybe it pops up on your mobile device from Facebook asking you, you know, well, did you purchase anything? You know, you can learn, well, hey, why did you not purchase something? And then maybe, you know, like you said, you could use Facebook ads, but what if you could retarget somebody with an automatic ad for, you know, a discount? Mm. For example, you know, a special offer, you know, 15% off or something to that effect.
Yeah, of course.
To get them to consider coming back into the store, you could use that data you've collected to, one, learn what you need to improve upon, like why did, you know, for instance, why did Emmerich not make that purchase? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then provide some sort of incentive to get him to come back.
So. Yeah, of course. It's all linked to better ways of reconnecting with existing clients or prospects who came by. You can already do that with online for online businesses. You know, the other day I had to buy a plane ticket to New York. Mm-hmm. So I'm going there next week, and I went to the United website and started to do a search and find out that the the trips, you know, the planes that they were proposing were not, they were either too expensive or they had to stop or the time was not right. So I finally didn't book my ticket on United. And then I went back to Facebook a couple of hours later and I had an ad on the right hand side, saying, want to go to New York? Click here. You know, want to do Paris, New York? Click here. Buy a ticket. Starts at $400, blah, blah, blah. So they were obviously retargeting me because I went to the site to the United Airlines site and I did a search for Paris, New York, and they were able to retarget me. They knew I was looking for Paris, New York, and they knew it was on United, and they, you know, and the ad was super targeted. It was great. The experience was not so great because then I clicked on the link. I got to a web page with flight from Paris to New York at the wrong dates, not the dates I were looking for, and I tried to change the dates and I got a bug. So it was not perfect, but the basic was here, and you can only do a lot of retargeting, smart retargeting through Facebook API, but you can't do that on the self-serve tools. So the thing is, to your question, there are already answers for online businesses, but these answers are too complex. You need a API partner. You need to use a platform. It takes a lot of money. It's very complicated to put together. So for me, the future will be that kind of ability for any business, self-serve, for even if you want to spend $15 a day, you can do that. Today you can't. Today you need to have big budgets and pay some third-party company to help you set that up. But and the integration within your website is a pain in the neck. It takes your CTO for 2 weeks to get the to get the code in there and to get all the scenarios approved and stuff. But I think we will get to the point in the future where this will be feasible with a very small budget, with very small hassles, and easy online. So I think that's the key of the kind of value Facebook can bring to businesses and the kind of value businesses can get from Facebook. And I think this is where it's going to head up.
I completely agree. So let's quickly talk about using Facebook for our own social media marketing efforts. You know, what are you finding that works? What are you finding that doesn't work? Do you have any tips or best practices that you can recommend?
Well, I what works the best for us and for the people I know who do the same kind of things is to really use Facebook, social media in general, Facebook in particular, to create a personal connection between, again, who you are and not what you do, and the people who already like you or would like to like you or would like to give you a try. Every time you connect with a business, whether it is the first connection you have with that business or it is, you know, a business you're already connected with because you're already a client and or you're already using their products or services, every time you have the feeling that you are close to them and that, you know, that founder guy sounds nice, looks nice, is welcoming you with a nice video, is sending you a personal message, and when you reply, he will reply to you. Every time you have that experience, your willingness to buy from that business or to buy again from that business goes from 1 to 8 on a scale of 10. You know, it's really the thing that makes you motivated or willing to do more business with them. So creating that connection is really the key. And I spend a lot of time doing this on Twitter and Facebook, you know, responding myself or making sure anyone from my team respond fast and well and nicely and helpfully, making sure that the impression that people get when they leave our social things is, well, these guys are nice. You know, they I'm important for them. They reply fast. They help me. They try to help me. I may not even be a client yet. I haven't given them money yet, but now I want to do so because I feel like they're here for me. And they will probably be much more likely to become a client or to stay a client if they had that feeling, rather than if we keep feeding them with our latest blog post or our latest super cool trick or, you know, treat to get more fans on their page. So for me, it's that needs to be at the heart of everything you do on social. and especially on Facebook. And we've seen, when you look at your insight, you know, you can see what posts are doing the best on the page. And every time we do posts that are about us and about how we care as persons, as people, we care about them as people, and we want to share things that matter for us. Every time we do that, you know, the insights tell us this is doing great. And every time we don't do that, the insights tell us this is doing okay. Not so great. So it's a good sign. You look at the content and say, this is content that was built to create that connection and to build that, you know, to create that sense of closeness with them. That works. That has a great reach and lots of engagement and lots of good feedback. And when you do content that's, hey, here is all the things you need to know about Facebook this week, which we do because we think it's valuable anyway. But, you know, people may enjoy it, may read it, but the emotion they feel with that kind of content is not as great as the kind of emotion they have when we create that personal connection.
So speaking of like how often somebody should respond on social media, what you know is an ideal time? Do you set aside, you know, 20 minutes a day? Do you set aside a full hour? How much time do you allot, and how did you arrive at that number?
I mean, the number, the amount of time we spend on social.
Mm-hmm. You know, on average, like in a given day, like, you know, a lot of people have this misconception that social takes, you know, 8 hours a day.
No, yeah,
it definitely
no, of course.
Doesn't. But how much time do you spend a day? Like, do you allot half the day? Is it just a couple hours? You know.
Well, the first thing I did is get a VA, virtual assistant, to monitor everything. Make sure that we're not missing anything. Because what's time consuming is to look after all these things and all these messages and tweets and retweets and everything else. So I have someone I pay from outside the company who does monitor that. And she alerts me, oh, Emmerich, this requires your action. Mm-hmm. So if something is, you know, hey, Emmerich, blah, 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 what about this? Are you going there? You know, that kind of stuff. She tells me, and then at the end of the day, I reply to all of this, and it takes me, I don't know, 10 minutes, something mm-hmm. like that. So the key for me is not to do everything, because my time, it's not a good use of my time to look after these things all
right.
day long. It's
uh-huh.
a good use of my time to respond to things that need my response. So I need someone to do the work to filter that for me and then give me the nuggets, you know, the stuff, the golden nuggets, the things I need to pay attention to and that I need to respond to. And when I do that, it's, yeah, 10, 15 minutes a day max.
So speaking of virtual assistants, do you have a service that you recommend for that, or?
No, I don't have a service. I found someone. She's Irish and she does a good job. I'm pretty happy with her. And I've tried a lot of, you know, people from India and different mm-hmm. services, and you know, it was the experience was not good. But I know there are people from India who do a great job. It's pretty hard. Basically, the best way to find the right person is to ask people around you. You know, do you do that? Who are you using? Who would you recommend? Because that's the only way to avoid wasting time in trying five different people and be disappointed five times.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I would do is write up to the people you know who may be doing this and ask them for recommendations. That's probably the best way to save you time.
Definitely. So if people want to get Agora Pulse, where do you recommend, like, they want to learn more about it? You know, is there a good place on your website? You know, or do they need to check out your Facebook page? Where's the best place for them to go learn about your tool?
I mean, find out about the tool. The website is probably the best place because you have all, you know, if you want to see all the features and what it does and the videos and et cetera. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. a Facebook page is great for interacting with people, but it's not great for presenting your products. I mean, it's not the right place. It's not designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
So the website, agorapulse.com, is probably the best place. And, you know, and as we have a free trial, that does not require for any credit card or anything, and you know, no commitment of any kind. If you want to see how it looks like for in 5 minutes, it's pretty easy to install it for free and check it out. And we have a ton of tutorials and videos and stuff that show you how things work. So it's also pretty easy to get an idea in 5-10 minutes before you start using it.
So if people want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about AgoraPulse, how do you prefer to be contacted? Is it Twitter?
Twitter is good if it can be contained in 140 characters. if it's longer than 140 characters, email is probably the best way. My email address is my first name at agoropulse.com, so it's pretty easy to find. LinkedIn, but you have to pay to send messages to people on LinkedIn you're not connected with, or you know, just can send an invite and explain why you want to get connected. Usually it's enough. So yeah, that's it.
Well, Emmerich, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me so that we could talk about Facebook management, you know, AgoraPulse, you know, and obviously the future of Facebook marketing for business. So this concludes our podcast with Emmerich. If you would like to be featured on the next episode, don't hesitate to contact me, christiankonline.com/contact.